The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. He looked around at everything and, since it was already late, went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went over to see if he could find anything on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the time for figs. And he said to it in reply, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and on entering the temple area, he began to drive out those selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He did not permit anyone to carry anything through the temple area. Then he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" The chief priests and the scribes came to hear of it and were seeking a way to put him to death. Yet they feared him because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. Early in the morning, as they were walking along, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus said to him in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have agreements, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, here's something to remember whenever you try to understand the Bible. The passages of the Bible that sound the strangest are almost always the ones that have the most to teach. It's not always true, but it's almost always true. The passages that sound the strangest, to make you scratch your head and wonder what's going on, those are almost always the ones that have the most to teach us. Let me try to prove my little point here today by talking about the strangest part of the gospel that we just heard. Jesus curses a fig tree. Heard a lot of things in the gospel. Jesus tells us about prayer. He tells us about forgiveness. The strangest thing by far is that Jesus curses this poor little fig tree. Poor little fig tree. What did it ever do wrong? Why did Jesus curse a fig tree? Well, let's try to understand, okay? Let's try to understand. See, here's the thing about fruit trees. Fruit doesn't grow all at once, does it? It takes its time. It has to develop. But if you go up to a fruit tree and you look at it, you can see that there's fruit on the way. Like, you know, you go to an apple tree, maybe it's April or May. You're not going to find bright red apples, not yet. You won't find those until October. But if you look at the fruit tree in, you know, April or May, you'll see there's little buds. There's apples on the way. Now, Jesus goes to this fig tree, takes a close look, find there's nothing there but leaves, no fruit on the way, no buds. And that's why he curses a fig tree, because in the Old Testament, God once said that his people were like a fig tree. They were supposed to bear good fruit. They were supposed to bear good fruit. They were supposed to be the light to the nations. They were supposed to be a sign of righteousness. Now, question for you. Were the people always a light to the nations? No, they weren't. You fall flat on your face sometimes. God says to you, you're supposed to be the light of the world. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Question for you. Are you always the salt of the earth? Are you always the light of the world? No. Sometimes you fall flat on your face. But St. Paul once said, Give God some evidence you mean to reform. Don't pray empty words and not back them up, at least by your efforts. At least show God some fruit is on the way. That's the message here in the fig tree. And it touches on a sin that's really important that almost nobody ever talks about. Let me tell you about this real briefly. It's the sin of sloth. Now, I bet you have all at least heard the word sloth before. And, I mean, I don't keep up with cartoons, but I have a feeling a sloth was like a cartoon character animal, right? Moves real slow. And you might think that's sloth. Sloth is a sin, and it's really misunderstood. You see, if I ask 9 people out of 10 what's sloth, so they'd say sloth means being lazy. But that's not what sloth is. Sloth does not mean being lazy. You can be busy as all heck and still be slothful, because sloth means neglecting the thing you ought to care about the most. Let me say that again. What's sloth? It's being neglectful of the very thing you ought to care about the most. So, are you guilty of sloth? Let's find out. What's the one thing we ought to care about the most, and I hope you already know the answer, is God. Above all else, right? Above all else. If you don't go to Mass on Sunday, or if you don't take time to pray, whole day God's given you, give him no time at all, that's sloth. You could say, no, I'm not slothful. I'm doing so many things. I'm so busy. Mass should be the one excuse by which you miss everything else in your life, not the other way around. Always put first things first. What else is most important in life? After God, what's most important in life? Well, I think the next answer would have to be your relationships, and especially the relationships with your family. If you're neglecting your family, believe it or not, that's the sin of sloth. So, you might have some, let's just say there's some man, he's so busy at work, and there's nothing wrong with being busy, and there's nothing wrong with work. But imagine some guy so busy, he's neglecting his family. Or imagine maybe there's some lady, she's so busy volunteering here, volunteering there, and there's nothing wrong with volunteering, but not at the neglect of what's most important. Or maybe you spend so much time with friends, and there's nothing wrong with friends, but between friends and family, family's more important. Right? Put first things first. And then, of course, there's procrastination. Hopefully everybody knows what that is. That's putting off what you ought to do. I have a little poem about procrastination. I find it really funny. It goes like this. It says, procrastination is my sin. It brings me only sorrow. I know that I must change my ways. I think I'll start tomorrow. So that's the sin of sloth. And it's only one little example of the point that I want to make here today. The strangest passages in the scriptures are usually the ones that give us the most to think about and to pray about. And one little message today from something that seems very strange. God is patient. He's very, very patient. But give God some evidence that you actually mean to change. Don't put off until tomorrow what God wants you to change today. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Paul VI, pray for us.